Tim Madden is an economist from British Columbia who was forced by personal legal circumstance to study and uncover a web of fraudulent practices that permeate the world of banking and credit. He works now on behalf of private individuals and corporate clients as an analyst in tax and banking disputes, and has written a major critique of the practice of banking in Canada over the past 100 years. This particularly important material applies just as well to conditions in the United States, so it will be worthwhile for American listeners to give this your full attention. I'm sitting with Tim Madden, who is a financial scholar from Canada, and we're going to be talking today about some of the basic things which we all have to deal with at this point in history. So the first thing is, I'd like to just get some clarity from you, Tim, on the credit card phenomenon, the fact that our culture is addicted to credit cards and dependent on credit cards, and there's a great deal we don't know about what these pieces of plastic really do to us and how we are, in fact, managed by them. The first question I have for you is, let's say you think you can use a credit card responsibly and beat the system by paying it off within the first 30-day period. You have a free loan. Is that in fact the case?
No, in fact, that's not true. Their point of view is to get what is called a merchant discount. When you use a Visa card, for example, you go into a merchant establishment and you charge $100. You think you're paying $100 and the merchant accepts your card. The merchant, on average, is only going to get about $97 from Visa or from the bank that he takes it to. Now, it's a little bit complicated because there's two banks generally involved. The merchant has a bank and the cardholder has a different bank. Not always the case, but sometimes. So what happens is, you are actually paying for the merchandise with your paper, with the Visa voucher that you sign. That is not merely what is called an evidentiary instrument of a loan that they have loaned to you. It is, in fact, the funding instrument. They put on their books that they have received a $100 piece of paper from you. It's a bill of exchange under the Bill of Exchange Act in Canada. It serves the same function under the Uniform Commercial Code in the United States. What happens is, the merchant takes this $100 bill that you have issued and paid. It's just like a check. When you write a check to a merchant for $100, the merchant will generally get $100 from the bank because he has ordered his agent, the bank, to pay you $100, and the agent has to do it. Now, with a credit card, it's exactly the same thing. For example, you write this $100 check for an item, and let's say the merchant doesn't take the check to the bank for, say, 4 days, 5 days, whatever it is. Then the property interest in the merchandise passes to you as the instant the merchant accepts your check. It is now your merchandise. And if the check bounces, you're in serious trouble. And that's part of the reason, is because the property interest in the merchandise does pass to you upon what is called acceptance of the check by the merchant. Now, the merchant then takes the check to the bank and deposits it into his own account. At that point, his bank purchases the check from him as a holder in due course. That bank then goes to the Canadian Payments Association, and the check gets passed on to the check writer's bank, who then purchases it from the Canadian Payments Association and presents it against your account. Meantime, if it takes 4 or 5 days to get there, you can be collecting interest on the money in your account that the check was written on. So you can see that the increase in the purchasing power when you write that check is quite real. You both buy the merchandise on the spot at that time, and you're earning interest on the same money that you are attaching to that check for that 4 day period that it takes to get there. Well, that increase in purchasing power is your property because it's your check and you issued it. Now, the credit card mechanism is a complicated way of shuffling things around with the issuing of the Visa voucher or the MasterCard voucher or the American Express voucher or whatever it is. There's still a $100 increase in the purchasing power. Only the way they work it out is, the bank gets the benefit of that increase in purchasing power at your expense, and you don't even realize it's happening. What happens is, the merchant takes your $100 voucher, and he has to sell it to his own bank for $97. That bank then takes the same bill of exchange, the $100, and writes in its own account that it is required an asset of $100. And it says, we got from the merchant $100, and we issued back to him a credit for $97. They're not loaning any depositors' money, and they're not loaning any of their own money. In fact, they are funding that transaction with your bill of exchange. So the merchant's bank writes down on their books that they received an asset for $100, and they issued a liability to the merchant for $97. then they pass on and sell that instrument to Visa International or MasterCard International, etc., for $98.25. And the merchant's bank makes $1.25 on that transaction right now. Like there's no waiting period, nothing. And that cancels out the $100 asset, but it is traded for a $98.25 credit from Visa International, which balances out the liability to the merchant for $97, and it leaves $1.25 residual. Now, Visa International takes that bill of exchange, that $100 bill, and sells it to the card user's bank. The card user's bank will pay $98.75 for it. So Visa International earns 50 cents on that transaction right now, just by passing it along. Then the card user's bank will mark on its books that it has issued a $98.75 liability to Visa International, and that it has acquired a $100 asset, being your bill of exchange. Then they will present it to your account, and suddenly this bill of exchange that was used to fund the transaction back at the merchant's becomes, poof, a promissory note for a loan that your bank made to you back at the merchant's establishment. Say, that isn't true, but you believe it's true. So they put on their books that they have acquired a $100 asset and issued a $98.75 liability to Visa International. So your bank makes $1.25 on that transaction as soon as you pay them at the end of that 30-day period. If you take the three of them, I call them the Visa triad or the MasterCard triad, the three entities that are involved in any given transaction, they issue $97 of credit to the merchant that is funded by the bill, and at the end of 21 days, they receive back $100, and they make, among them, $3 profit on a $97 credit. So even if they were loaning their own money, they would make $3 on $97 for 21 days, which is an effective annual rate of about 68%.
The person that's losing in this transaction, if you pay it off by the end of the month, is actually the merchant. It's mostly coming out of the merchant's pocket, because if you gave the merchant a check, the merchant would get a full $100.
Correct.
As far as you're personally concerned, your money is being used by two other crafty entities, the other two banks, to make money from. They're, in a sense, borrowing it from you, but not paying you any interest. They're keeping the interest. It sounds very complicated, but in fact, the net effect is if you buy something for $100 and you pay $100, you don't pay any interest on it yourself. It's just that the bank is taking advantage of the fact that you don't have to pay for a month. They're borrowing your money for a month from you. Because when you wrote that bill of exchange, when you signed your signature, you temporarily created a new $100
Correct.
For them to play with.
Exactly.